Good morning, friends and travelers. On a funny path of life. 10:51. And after a lot of comiéndose el coco, dándole vuelta al asunto, thinking about it, I am going on my... thinking victory lap, but that's not it either. But basically, I'm going to go on that that loop. So, you know, what I have left to do, I really don't see it being a problem. You know, mopping everything, doing the bathroom, tidying up the kitchen between today and tomorrow, but that's detail, you know? So, and the day is like, the morning is perfect. I mean, right now, it's fresh. I'm not even going to say cool. I'm going to say fresh and overcast. But I have my hat because we're looking at, you know, between 3 and 4 hours. So I don't want to presume. Huh? Or I don't want to, guess it. Presumir. Anyway, I guess to start very simply, well, I'm not sure what happened to Alberto and Anna, but I never saw them, you know, not sure if they came earlier and they didn't see me, or I would have thought he would have called me, they would have done such a thing, you know, when I left with Juan to get the gas bottle. I mean, I'll go see them, like I said, I more than likely will drop down to say my goodbye this evening. But that was that. What I did yesterday. So after that nice, it wasn't quite 2 hours, I don't think. But, you know, a nice walk. Sorry. I realize, you know, I'm going to start on Thursday to walk. So we're looking at coming to the weekend. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just book until Monday morning. So I basically... did that on a swing set, which was so nice, you know, as evening was settling in. And so, Arifana, I stayed at that place before. Lagos is a new one. Then Villa do Bispo is a new one. And then, Sagres is... Oh, hold on. Is it a new one or not? I'm not sure now. I think it might be. Because the other one was like a kind of a surf, well, it's still a surf place where I'm staying, but this one is different. It looks smaller. Anyway, and I have to say, if I have to choose, I'll take the a little quaint area, you know. I guess when I think about acogedor, because kind of acogedor could be like quaint and welcoming. So I'm not sure quaint, like cozy quaint. I want to say acogedor. I think it works for both. Acoger, you know, welcome somebody. To make somebody feel welcome. Anyway. So basically that's done. So it is a little more expensive, you know, that part for sure, because of tourism. So it's almost impossible to get something below 30 euro, you know, compared to the rest of the Camino where people will be screaming bloody murder if you paid that per night to stay in an albergue, at least as of 2024. Anyway, it was nice. And then I kind of realized, I'm enjoying, actually, in a weird way, I'm enjoying the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It is really enjoyable. It's really good writing. but what he's talking about, it's just not that interesting, but it's enjoyable to read, which is kind of weird. And I'm able to kind of follow, you know, about this Desnoyers, the son, Julio, you know, this wealthy Frenchman went to Argentina, made his wealth and fortune, came back to France with his wife and, he had a daughter, I think, but I think she got married and stayed in Argentina. I might have forgotten that. And so the World War I is about to break. And so kind of what's happening, and there is, political ideology being spilled out, but I'm enjoying it. It's weird. It's kind of a weird book in that way. Unlike that piece of shit, the truth about the case of, oh my goodness, that feels like a distant nightmare that I had to go through. Maybe to prime myself, you know, to get ready for that. Who knows? Who knows? But anyway. And so I ended up watching The New Rules, which is kind of that editorial piece, very well written, actually. It has some good writers, Delmar, I have to say. You know, I mean, he was good too when he was younger, but I don't think he would be that good now. Some I didn't quite get because of the social context, some of the references. I don't know what he was alluding to, but overall, anyway, very nice. Enjoyed it. kind of interesting as far as the political voice, you know. Like I say, I find him kind of a little bit of self-righteous and condescending and I don't know. But that's his personality, that kind of arrogance. I'm not going to say it's unbecoming, but it's not something that I look up to. Here we go. It's not a role model for me. But I enjoy that one. The New Rule part, I couldn't care less about the people he invites and the talks they're having, because I'm not up to date on that stuff. Never really was, anyway, even when I was in the U.S., but that's what I did before I went to bed. I just didn't have it to read last night. And still feeling tired, actually. Enjoyed the walk, you know, it was no problem. But I just, felt off. But this morning I could tell I didn't want to get up. I pressed the snooze button, and I was really surprised that I just got myself to get up before the snooze button rang. So it was very interesting. And sorry, my belly here. What amazing breakfast I had, my last supper. And I got up feeling sleepy, really wanting to stay longer. But that was the hardest, actually, I have to say. I really felt like I wanted to sleep more. But I could tell as the morning went on. You know, I got the laundry started and I was really pumped up. I was really feeling pumped up. The yoga and everything was like bang, bang, bang. and so here we are, because I was thinking, I wasn't sure yesterday, thinking about, you know, today what I was going to do. But I'm like, dude, what excuse do you have? It's a beautiful walk. Now the weather is perfect. And what do you have to do? You know, there's just not, I don't really have, oh, sorry, warning for chupa chup. You know, I don't really have a reason, you know, not to. So, so here I am on this amazing morning. Wow, we have a few people. There's my older fellow. Up ahead. Looks like he's walking away from here. Well, maybe she's sleeping. I got the dry food. Oh no, there she is. There's a vehicle there. ¿Qué? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? Buenos días. Oh. This is the last girl. She's more than likely. Let me see you tomorrow though, if I'm done early enough.
Yes.
Yes, let me come and see you.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And it's dry food. It's not the usual. You're not going to eat it? You're not going to eat it? This is it? Are you a spoiled brat? Wow. You little fucker. All right. Well, I guess you have those two things here. You're not going to eat them. I'm not going to give you. I don't have anything else. This is it. Well, so much for the end part. Do move for the end part. All right. No, that is it. Oh, shit. The bug, is it water leaking? Dang it. I thought I had it. I don't get it. Yeah, it's sealed. Anyway, shit. I mean, I have that water leaking a little bit. But I need some drink. Okay, well, that's it. Sorry. All right, girl. I'm more than likely will see you tomorrow. But if not, it was wonderful to get to spend time with you. Piece of shit. Spoiled brat. Anyway. So, I got my little pack with me. So, no poles and just a couple of nectarines, which are so good. And lemon water. Lemon mint water. One of the ass. Es lo que hay. Lo que hay. Lo que toca. Hasta luego. Anyway. So, still the same kind of a sky. Yeah, just looks a bit the same, but there's no wind. There's more, a little more coolness in the air. So, this is nice. So, anyway. So, here I am. I know you're wondering, Anthony, what's happening with Duolingo? Well, actually, it's a very good week for me. Normally, it would be a winner. But there are some monsters in terms of getting points. And I really have no interest whatsoever. You know, there's no inspiration to get myself to a higher score. And more than likely, I may still not be able to get it, because what happens at time, you know, like say those guys who are like in three top place that are above me, they have to have very big scores, which is not typical. So they don't have those big scores because they're practicing languages. You know, they are doing the thing that they have to do in order to get the point, to max out their points, whether they're paying for the membership or not, I don't know. But it's a different kind of a, they have a different kind of a goal when it comes to that. And so, if you were to try to kind of creep up towards somebody, then they more than likely would really react. So it would become this kind of like in a race, basically, you know, like you first and you can see somebody creeping up and then you really give it everything you have. So it becomes, you know, it becomes very tunnel vision. And I've done it. I've been on both sides, you know, creeping up, beating somebody, creeping up and not, and then having somebody creeping and then me kind of just really smoking them. So I know what it's like. They aren't that many realms of emotion. You know, they are not that many degrees here. It's quite straightforward. And it's, you know, having found that rhythm that I have, which I'm about to change again because I won't have time to practice as much when I'm on a Camino. But, well, some days I will, but most days I won't. But yeah, it's kind of wonderful to see that. And that weird situation where you have three high markers, you know, people who are just getting so many points, which is not typical. So most of the time I find maybe one, rarely two. So this one is like it's really a rare situation, but I can kind of a nice mile marker, you know, a threshold to, as I'm kind of moving on, I have had an interrupted podium placement for I don't know how many weeks now. And this is going to be the first time in quite a while that I have not done that, in spite of getting quite a high score. I think I'm going to get close to 30,000 points, which is, if you do Duolingo, you know, and it's really pleasurable the way that I'm doing it, which is weird. There is strategy. I do maximize. You know, they have area where I get more points. Actually, I didn't do any French today. I was really hooked on the kanji, you know, appreciating like there's a kanji for a marker for kind of small round object, which is called ko. and which is kind of like a rectangle with a cross and a little rectangle below the cross. Think of like the Christian cross being mounted on some, like on a square stone, and that's inside of a rectangle, and that is Ko. And to the left of it, there is a slash from the top right to the bottom left, and then the line going straight down, making like a T with a slanted part of the top of the T. And so this Ko means it's an object marker, like tamago, like for egg. You would use that to count eggs. You wouldn't say there are six eggs. You would say there are six shaped like eggs. You know, then it's required to have the marker, or to the tsu, which is kind of the general marker for which is hiragana tsu, which is quite simple. It's just a C inverted. And that would mean, oh shit, it may not be inverted. I'm not even sure now. But basically, bottom line. And then there is this other one, which is called katai, which means hard, which is the same thing as a ko, but without the T on the left. And there are quite a few of those kanji, which is really kind of fun to to discover them. Like omoi and ryo. Ryo is quantity and omoi is heavy. So anyway, it's kind of really fun as I'm getting more and more used to. Anyway, so I have very few days now where I'm lost. I've had a few to where I end up stopping because it was just like the chapter was too complicated. I was fried. More than likely more fried than anything else. Or kind of a new list of vocabulary that are very, very weird. And they have some long one too in Japanese. They have some long word. But yeah, anyway, so didn't do any French today. And believe it or not, I make quite a few mistakes in French. Even though some of it in the street you would not say that way. Pretty sure some of it hasn't changed. But that being said, it's great to actually, you know, learn. Yeah, I'm still learning. Still can better, you know, so for what it's worth. Sounds like we have cyclists. Ciclistas. Anyway, so Sunday. I mentioned feeling off yesterday, and definitely I went to bed feeling off a little bit, and I think there's definitely going to be some grieving, because when I start this Camino, it's going to be, you know, different. There's going to be a death, you know. This spring is going to, yeah, there's going to be grief, duelo. Interesting fact about duelo, which means grief, the grief, eh? Which is, or luto. And duelo also means a duel. So, like, you know, two people fighting for honor or whatever the case. So it's actually the same word. I'm pretty sure it's spelled the same way. I don't see how it would be any different, since Spanish is quite phonetic. But that was kind of interesting. Those are kind of like two homonyms, but they're exactly the same. I'm pretty sure. I don't see how they could squeeze an accent or another letter in there. Anyway, but yeah, it's well, I guess I've kind of expressed, you know, my gratitude, my appreciation, my awe, you know, being in awe about this place and what it has been. Also appreciating the fact that I can feel all these wonderful things and realizing that those have nothing to do with happiness, nothing to do about what makes a home, you know. So, and I guess in a way a home and possible intimate relationship hold the same mysterious truth, which is I have no idea what that would look like, but it wouldn't be what I've known. unless I was giving up. That would be it. Yeah, me giving up, then, you know, could just be going back to the state, reclaiming my commercial license, maybe even just going through school if I have the money instead of messing with the companies. And, well, anyway, doesn't matter. But that's a different story, you know, just giving up. But I'm not there. And I don't think I'm anywhere near there. But so that being said, if I am nowhere near there, then I have no idea. Those two things, which still, they still get me, you know, I'm still not the ass. Wouldn't say still get me, but I'm still interested and I still believe in it. The idea of it is still appealing, but it can be. It just can't. There's no such thing as what I have known it to be. A woman. A real potential woman as in a intimate relationship or a home. Hogar. Yeah? As in a place to call home. And I still feel that those things are still driving me. One thing that would not surprise me, you know, because there's been so many strange and amazing things and mysterious things that have happened recently that could come to a place where I would cross a bridge without realizing it and where that would become irrelevant. It would not be necessary anymore. Like that, the idea of a woman, like if it was to happen, it's not like because I don't think about it or because it's not as important that it's not relevant or it could not take front seat. Of course it could. That's not the point. But it would just become this kind of background, you know, really background info. And that I could definitely see that. Possibly the woman, I think, before the home. Kind of thing like on a Pavlovian, I think the pyramid, I think it's Pavlov, you know, having a home, you know, having a safe place to stay. I don't quite see how that could be superseded by the idea of an intimate relationship, a meaningful intimate relationship. Here's a key word here, right? Meaningful. So, but then, like I said, who knows, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I think there's a part of me that's feeling maybe a little scared, unsure, you know, doubtful, confused, lost maybe about all of that because it doesn't know. It's like, what can he do? There, what's to be thought of? There's nothing because it's going to be something that's going to unravel itself with each steps, with each day, you know. And though I have a general idea, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm studying in Lagos, so that's happening. But beyond that, like I say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, so it's going to be interesting, you know, to see. It's going to be interesting to see also this relationship about a part of me that's doubtful and the part of me that is quite serene about the whole thing. And I'm more used to... the doubt, you know, the doubtful, the fullness of the doubtful in me than I am about the one that is really surrendering and trust and flow and let go, you know? So thinking versus trusting, which is kind of, and I think in my case, there is kind of that faith a little bit in terms of, because of what's happened. That muscle, you know, is getting stronger. And so I don't know where it is as far as the scale, you know, what kind of balance, you know, where I'm at, how it's compensating for where I was in my younger days. But I mean, I'm kind of on a runner's high, basically. I have been in that zone. And though I'm not holding my breath, I don't kind of overlean into it, but at the same time, the recognition that, and I've even read about that, that, you know, like this idea, like if it's too good to be true, you know, then no, it just is. And now, who knows how long it's going to last, but it is. It's good and it's true. And because it's something that's been going on for quite a while now, well, then it is established. And I can't really argue against it. And also learning to accept generosity, you know, acts of kindness, though I remain fully compromised, no, fully compromised? Not compromised, fully, comprometido. I am completely invested in independence. Is definitely a part of who I am. So, you know, it's not even like it comes hard for me to ask for help. It's just so far in my life, there's been no need. You know, it's been useful for me to kind of apañarme, to get by, to find ways, you know. And even, you know, since finally the grief, getting over the grief, you know, with Pilar, and even before was quite done, just kind of not having that person, that sounding board, you know, to kind of being vulnerable with, which I love to be, but just not really having that person either. And so to be able to, you know, to feel miserable and sad or whatever, and to stay there. And then to basically do what I could, you know, TLC, you know, in my own way. And, you know, so what? It's like to each his own. You know, at the end of the day, you have to find out, you know, where to yield, where to make a stand. There is no formula. And like I say, anybody, here's my golden advice for the day. Anybody that make it sound like he knows or she knows, run the hell away. If you don't hear relativism, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, that kind of a guru, that I have no interest. That being said, I could go to a teacher that I felt there was a teacher for me to pull out of that one, you know, as long as I'm not expected, you know, to kind of look up at them like they are the second coming. Then I'm okay with that too, because they don't have to be relativist in order for me to have a relativistic relationship with that. So if there's something of value, you know, nothing wrong. But like I said, nobody can know like you can. There's no such a thing. And that's your job anyway. You know, you are the individual. So it's, for me, the way I look at it, it's got to be a reason for it. You know, we look at things differently. You know, that can be frustrating when I think about nutrition, because there is this kind of a tendency to blanket statement, you know, dietary pattern or saying that are good or bad or whatever. And I think in some extreme situations, like somebody has a very bad heart disease or, you know, bad diabetes or morbidly obese, those require extreme measures. But for most of us, you know, it is just this idea of gentleness, to be playful, to be curious, and to be willing to try. And, you know, then there is not really anything that'll stand out. When I look at my life, when I think about Bilge, I want to say Bilge. I'm going to have to come up with another name. It's kind of weird. I mean, not being able to date kiwi, allergic to fruit sugar, to, you know, basically she's celiac, so no wheat. She's of the dairy. She doesn't really eat meat, a little bit of fish. So she's pretty close to a plant-based. So she's never been into meat anyway. But in terms of the restriction, in terms of what's happening with the body and a relationship with food and something so, you know, so basic, so fundamental, so, yeah, just so quintessential. And me looking at my life and my relationship with food and You know, though I did, you know, in my early wedding, in my early marriage, my early days of my marriage. No, this thing is open. With Glenda, I started to put on weight. You know, you eat butter, cheese, cream, and all that, and sugar, and oh my goodness, all of it basically. But, you know, when I became macrobiotic, well, plant-based really, actually, I never really, even though I use a lot of macrobiotic tools, but it was more plant-based. I really like whole food plant-based. It's really more my philosophy. Then the weight starting to drop. And but I've never really had any big no-no. You know, me kind of moving away from meat didn't come from a need, you know. It comes from congruency with some belief and values that I have, you know, with compassion. Then you're looking at health on top of that. Then you're looking at environmental sustainability. Oh, you know what? Let me, even though I don't have much left. My goodness, this is way, hold on. Here we go. Okay, there. Sorry about that. There was a message from in Sagres asking me my arrival time. Anyway, and Sagres is a surfing area too. So is Lagos. So is a lot of that part. But anyway, sorry. That's Southern Portugal. So yeah, I haven't had any. You know, I tried that gluten-free diet for a while because after reading and being like, interesting, you know, this tendency, it seems to be happening more in the U.S., you know, because maybe the hybridization of the wheat, you know, which has changed, the physiology has been changed, you know. So I think there might be Juan, if I had to guess. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's an older fart. I don't know who that is. I don't think I do. But yeah, so that was it. That was the impetus, you know, becoming going to the Microbiotic Institute, and that kind of changed the way I looked at food. Something else became important too, outside of the taste and the immediate experience, seeing food as fuel, as something more than just hedonism, which is really was my approach, and kind of as a French chef. That's kind of it. You know, I don't know now, but more than likely still. And I don't subscribe to that philosophy anymore. That's why I don't think I could never see myself becoming a French chef. I think it would have to be kind of like a spiritually minded community where the approach of food would be more relaxed, more about mindfulness and not so much about the performance in the kitchen. But anyway, I mean, I don't even think about it anyway, but you never know. And so, yeah, my relationship with food, it's, I have never, you know, I haven't really had any serious obstacles in my life. I mean, they've been emotional one, but on the physical level, yeah, I guess maybe that's not fair because I've had obstacles. So maybe I need to rephrase it here. It's not necessarily accurate what I'm about to stumble upon. At least at that level, on the physical level, I have not had any impediments, right? No deterrence, you know. And looking now, you know, at about 50, my goodness, today is what, the 6th, right? No, the 7th today. So in 6 days, I'll be, where will I be? I'll be in Sagres, I guess, going to Villa do Bispo, or maybe Villa do Bispo. Maybe that's what it is, Villa do Bispo. You say Villa because in Portuguese you don't say the V is not a B. Or Ube, they call the letter. B and Ube in Spanish. But in Portuguese it remains a sounding V. So, you know, like the way that I feel right now after, again, those interesting winter months, you know, of this very, very consistent repetition and seeing the ebb and flows in terms of the way that I feel, my energy, And now, again, this feeling of yes. So, why was I even talking about that? Why did I go on with a long tirade about my relationship with food? Well, maybe. In a weird way, what I'm getting is, which is not definitely, I know it's not my original point, but this idea of there's a special connection between me and food. So that to me remains unquestionable. You know, it's been my way out of the house, but that was the only thing. There was really nothing else. Actually, I don't even see it as a choice. You know, my mother got me this little cooking, baking kit. I used to make those pound cake and then crepes. I forgot what else I made with that. It was a cute little thing. When I little recipe book, very small, and measuring things. And anyway, so you see, my parents were not evil. They definitely, you know, they got me a, was it a color TV? I don't remember, but they even got me like a cassette player. Yeah, VCR, and a TV. Definitely my sisters didn't get that. So, but yeah, you know, my childhood was not hell. It was just atrophied on the emotional front, that's all. And as it turns out, it's something that I'm quite susceptible and quite needy of. Definitely formative when it came to that. And maybe something too that I am, you know, I'm coming into, or I'm maybe starting to kind of really update it, maybe even transcending it. I don't know. It's still too early to tell, but I do feel like my emotions do not hold sway on my well-being like it used to. Like I can be okay, not be okay more and more. And it feels at the same time that as that's happening, I'm actually, those mood swing or those kind of overwhelming experiences seems to be really becoming far and few between, as if that tank was getting more and more depleted. And again, whatever that is, anybody's guess. I have no idea. What I'm just aware of is I just don't have any. No estoy de bajón. Yeah, I'm not in such a low state as much. I am more even keel, you know? As if, you know, I was some kind of getting to some kind of balance. I don't know. Well, it was good to meet you. Yes, you are. I'm not going to come and make you move away. You see how nice I am? You see how nice I am? She's cute, but if I get close to the fence, she'll walk away. So. Anywho, so here we are, embarking now on my big climb. Is there anything else for you folks? I think not. I think that's enough. I think I'm boring you enough for now. As I'm looking at this little vineyard here, well, it's really just one of them. Very pretty though. But you can see the leaf, the grape leaves, you know, are out in full force. The fig tree, there's some onions here. Those look like, I would guess, radishes. Yeah, rabanitos and habas. Yeah, the faba beans. Looking very healthy. Anyway. And some chickens. I was talking to Juan about that. He went to get some feed, pienso, and for the chicken, para las gallinas. And I was like, have you ever tried to calculate, you know, the cost? Like, how many eggs do you get for a bag, you know? And he was like, yeah, if you do that, you know, you don't raise chickens. You know, that's not what you do it. Which kind of makes sense, you know? Yeah. It is not economically feasible with the price of what you can get them at the store. Anyway, and here's the church bell, the church's bells calling, la congregación a la misa. Anyway, so here we are, folks, going up through the olive trees, up that beautiful climb. We'll see if the sheep are there today with those lambs. Cordero de Dios, que quitas el pecado del mundo, ten piedad de nosotros. Cordero de Dios, que quitas el pecado del mundo, ten piedad de nosotros. Cordero de Dios, que quitas el pecado del mundo, danos la paz.